From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another Gay PHX podcast. I'm Pup Apollo.
And I'm Pup Dante, and we're your hosts from Amory Pack.
And now that we're settling into these microphones, you're probably going to start hearing a little bit more of us around here.
So if you haven't met the pack yet, now's a pretty good time. Our website, amorypack.com, is geared towards human pet play education and support, including a Pup 101 page with information on how and where to begin exploring pup play, an event calendar, Apollo's dog blog, and much more. If you haven't already, we encourage you to go sniff it out.
And while we're talking about things happening around our community, Gay PHX keeps growing too. GayPHX.com is your home for LGBTQ+ events happening around the valley, along with community news, the podcast, and Gay PHX Radio streaming 24/7.
And if you've been wondering where Billy went now that we've hosted so much,
don't worry, we didn't get rid of him.
Billy will still be on air every week doing the interviews, but you're also going to start seeing and hearing a lot more of him live.
He's been spending more time behind the microphone with daily check-ins, community updates, the buzz around Phoenix, and catching up with listeners.
So don't just wait for the podcast every week. Hit up GayPHX.com, turn on the live stream, and come hang out with Billy and the rest of the community.
And speaking of community, that's at the heart of this week's conversation, where Billy sits down with Tess English, a member of the team bringing Desert Pride Tucson 2027 to life.
After Tucson's previous Pride celebration went away, Tess and the team at Flux Productions saw an opportunity to help a community that needed a place to gather, feel seen, find resources, and celebrate.
Billy and Tess discuss growing up queer, what it's like to have community, what it's like to lose it, and why those firsthand experiences helped shape her passion for creating spaces where people don't just feel invited.
They actually feel welcome when they get there.
The two of them take a behind-the-scenes look at how Desert Pride Tucson comes together for 2027 in terms of accessibility, safety, local organization partnerships, building a strong representation of Southern Arizona, and what success means to them and why it means a whole lot more than how many people walk through the gates.
And underneath all of it is a pretty simple idea. Our community is stronger when we actually show up for one another.
All right, we've had the microphones long enough.
It's time to find out what's hot around the valley.
Here's your Desert Den Daddy,
Brian, with this week's Gay PHX Hot 3.
You're listening to Gay PHX, where community comes first.
Hey, 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 Phoenix. I hope you're feeling flexible this week. And no, Daddy isn't asking about your dating profile, because this week's Hot 3 is going to work your brain, stretch your body, and by Saturday night, test whether those hips still remember what they're supposed to do. We've got trivia, where knowing useless information could finally pay off, beginner yoga, where the dress code is quite literally nothing, and a dark dance floor serving synth, industrial, disco, absinthe, strong drinks, and sexy bartenders till 2 in the morning. Oh, honey, we're going from smarty pants to no pants to dancing pants. That's the range. So grab your smartest friend, limber up, and whatever needs to be limbering, and save a little energy for Saturday night, because Phoenix, Daddy found three. This is Brian's Hot 3 and your glitter bomb, rainbow soap, Desert Den Daddy guide to where you need to be this week. Hot pick number one, Tuesday trivia at Cobalt. Tuesday, August 18th, 7 p.m., okay, smarty pants, it's time to find out whether all those completely useless facts rattling around inside your head are finally worth something. Every Tuesday, Cobalt brings out the questions for a fast-paced night of trivia hosted by the fabulous Ruby Moore. Playing solo or assemble your own little Justice League or random knowledge and compete for bragging rights while Ruby brings the laughs, energy, and exactly the right amount of chaos. Know your pop culture, history, music, That one includes that one completely ridiculous fact that you learned at 2 a.m. and have been waiting 6 years to use? Baby, this could be your moment. And remember, if you don't know the answer, just say it confidently. It's got plenty of people surprisingly far in life. Hot pick number 2, Men's Naked Beginner Yoga with Forrest at Melrose Yoga. Saturday, August 22nd at 10 a.m. every Saturday. Phoenix, apparently we're starting Saturday morning with a little downward facing confidence. Melrose Yoga invites the guys to Men's Naked Beginner Yoga with Forrest, happening every Saturday morning. And yes, this title means exactly what you think it means. This is beginner yoga, so you don't need to arrive twisted into a pretzel or able to put your ankles anywhere particularly impressive. Come as you are, literally. It's an opportunity to stretch, breathe, move, and get comfortable in your own skin in a welcoming environment. And listen, if you've been saying, I try yoga, but I'm not flexible enough, that's why you need to go to yoga. Nobody starts flexible. Well, almost nobody. There's almost always that one guy. Lift the gaze up, stretch them out, and start Saturday feeling fabulous. Hot pick number 3, we have the Dark Wave Disco at Oz Bar. Saturday, August 22nd, 9 to 2. And Saturday night, we're turning the lights way down. Dark Wave Disco takes over Oz Bar with a deliciously moody mix of dark wave, disco, synth, house, and industrial. No cover, strong drinks, absinthe, sexy bartenders, basically. Somebody looked at the gay agenda and checked all the above. This is your permission slip to pull that black outfit out of the closet, add something shiny, line those eyes just a little darker than usual, and disappear onto the dance floor. Come dance, come people watch, come discover music you didn't know you needed. And if absinthe starts whispering that you're an incredible dancer, maybe don't ask anyone for a second opinion. Just enjoy the moment. Phoenix, brains, bodies, beats, I told you we had a range this week. Whether you're answering trivia questions Tuesday night, finding your center Saturday morning, or losing it again on a dance floor Saturday night, get out there and enjoy your community. Try something different. Say hello to somebody new. Support the local venues, performers, instructors, bartenders, organizers, and volunteers who keep giving us a reason to live the house. And to all of you who keep coming back every week to hear what I found, thank you. Thank you for listening, sharing GayPHX with your friends, supporting local, and continuing to show up for this incredible community. You make doing this every week worth it. Now use your brain, stretch responsibly, dance irresponsibly, and for the love of glitter, if you're doing all three, please remember which event requires pants. Until next time, coming to you from the shadows of the radio tower, I'm Brian, your Desert Den Daddy, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GayPHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
This is what community sounds like.
This is Amanda Renfrew, enrolled agent with The Tax Person, with your tax year countdown. Bonuses, commissions, and overtime are often taxed as supplemental wages. Employers typically withhold at 22%. But if your actual bracket is higher, you may owe more at filing. Get support with the free 15-minute consult at thetaxperson.com or look for me as The Tax Person on socials.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX podcast.
Today on Gay PHX, pride doesn't happen by accident. It takes people willing to step forward, build something bigger than themselves, and create space where community can gather, celebrate, and be seen. Our guest today has spent her life helping people discover their strengths, tell their stories, and find opportunities to thrive, whether through youth leadership, community advocacy, performance, or public relations. She's consistently focused on bringing people together and creating meaningful impact. Now helping shape the future of Pride in Southern Arizona as part of the team behind Desert Pride Tucson 2027, please welcome to the rainbow tinted microphone, Tess English. Howdy, Tess.
Hey, Billy, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us today. So before we get into about Desert Pride Tucson, let's start with you. Who is Tess English?
Oh my goodness, what a question, right? Tess English is honestly a person of the community. I'm very passionate about what I can give back, because I feel like that's the real impact of life. That's why we're here, to add our own pieces so that as a whole, we can all come together. But we need everybody's piece in order for it to all work. So
into the fabric of life.
Yeah, 100%. Yes.
So growing up, what were some of the experiences or people that helped shape you as a person that you've become today then? Putting community first.
Putting community first was, I experienced it when I lived in San Diego, where there was a pride center. There was a youth teen pride center, which was just phenomenal to have. And being able to go there and to hang out with people, you're not being questioned. Nobody's making you feel a certain way. Everybody's welcoming and inviting. And then I ended up moving to a place that, and I honestly didn't understand that with living there because I had that privilege. And then we moved to a very small town in Southern California. And I absolutely realized how privileged I was having that in San Diego because it was not inviting. It was not welcoming. Essentially going back into the closet when I was a sophomore.
Oh, wow. Because,
just to survive in that town. Yeah. Yeah. So that to me really signaled these communities are needed and they're needed everywhere because that was very tough. To be so open and so free, so young, and then to stuff it all back in and hide everything all over again. That was a really traumatic experience. And from then forward, it was like, I have to do stuff, especially for youth is where my more passion comes from because of that experience. And I don't want any youth to have to feel that way.
Yeah, I experienced something similar. As a military brat, I grew up, my very fundamental basic beginning years of kindergarten through third grade, I believe, was at a military dependent school, which meant it wasn't a military school. We didn't wear uniforms and blah, 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 blah. We were just like a public school, but we all lived on base and we all had that same experience. And we were a rainbow of people. And third grade, we moved to the suburbs and it was such a... I'll just say it. It was such a white neighborhood that they called the Hawaiian guy the N-word. And I was very confused. And I also realized that I was in a whole different kind of attitude and how people got along. They didn't get along. And so that was shocking. But that was at an early enough age that I felt like I could adapt. I can't imagine. You were a sophomore in high school?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was a military brat myself, and so that's why we moved, right? So we're stationed in San Diego, and we had great, and then we moved to a very small town. And so, yeah, essentially, I sophomore year of high school ended up going back in the closet and actually pretending that I like died.
And that's the fear that I have for the youth today, because up until this last administration in their first bout, we've been telling people, be who you are, accept who you are. We love you for who you are. And now some of these people are turning on and going, yeah, just kidding. That's just a gut punch as an adult. I can't imagine what it's like for a child who's been told, I'm used to the flip-floppy. I guess it's like a likened to the time that you stopped believing in the Easter Bunny. I'm not sure, but it just feels like we're doing such a disservice to our youth today by not standing by what we said to always be true.
Yeah, and just to let kids be themselves, let them explore. They're kids, right? And that's the whole point of childhood is to let them be themselves and to grow into themselves and us not to put those restrictions on them and for us to just nurture their journey along, right? And it's a privilege to be a part of that journey. So it just makes me sad when I see that and I think I'm being stagnated like that because I experienced it myself. And it was very confusing and it also probably had a lot to do with me going into the service because I just had to get out. I didn't even the thought of going to community college in that area. I'm just like, there's no way. I have to leave here immediately. And the fastest way was to join the Navy and that's what I did. So it had a huge impact on the journey that I went down in my life, actually.
That's amazing. I still joke that where I come from is such a small town that it's Omaha. It's from Nebraska. No, it's not a hidden thing. So it's not a tiny town, but it's still a small enough town that when something happens, yeah. I said, watch, it'll be on the news in a few hours. And my husband's like, what? That's just some random thing on Facebook. I'm like, watch. And in the comments, I saw someone tag someone who I grew up with, whose dad worked at, and then he grew up working there at the channel news station. And there you go. And I said, see, that's why I left that town.
Yeah. Let me tell you, one time I got pulled over. This was a kid. I was driving home. It's after curfew. I was leaving, coming home from a basketball game. So I got pulled over because it was after curfew. And the police officer that pulled me over, they're like, oh, what do you get? I'm like, I'm coming home from my basketball game. Now I'm driving myself home. And they were like, oh, okay. And I'm wearing, at the time, the police officer looked at me and I was wearing a cops and jocks shirt because I played on the basketball team. And we did a program with all of the cops in the area and us. So the back of that shirt had my name and that cop's name that just pulled me over on the back of my shirt. And they were like, oh, you're just coming home from the bus. Yeah, the bus just dropped us off and I'm driving myself home. And then I went home. It was small town. Very small town.
That's really small. Yeah, so I get coincidental. That. Wow. Now, you do a lot of storytelling. Why is storytelling such a powerful tool for creating change and connection?
Because if we don't know our history, then we're bound to repeat it. And I think it's also important for people to be able to get their stories out there, because you don't know who you impact and who you influence. You don't know who is living through the exact same thing and thinking, I just cannot do this. And they hear your story and they're like, they did it. And they hear that emotion of when maybe you felt that same way of where you couldn't do it, and they can connect to that, and then they can have hope. And say, you know what, maybe the next step, I can get to the next step and taking that one step at a time and to keep going. It's important. I think it's detrimental, especially to our youth who are struggling, to know that we are as adults, they look at us and they look up to us and we don't have it together.
Right.
We put on a facade that we do because we're adults and that's what you do. But it would mean so much to these kids if you were being like, listen. And I've had these conversations with a lot of the kids I've mentored. I was like, look, my first year of college was terrible. It did not go well. I didn't get straight in either. And that, me being vulnerable in that scenario and telling them that, makes them feel better to be like, oh, if I'm struggling, you struggled and you got past it and became successful, then I can do the same. But I think oftentimes we focus on the successful piece, which is great, but getting to know that we struggled. We're not perfect.
Right. There's no such thing as an overnight success. An overnight success still takes years of work and labor. And I'm literally wearing a shirt right now that says I am WTFing my way through life.
100%. We are absolutely taking our way through this. 100%. Yeah.
Now, you've spent years helping people discover their strength and pursue their passions. Who helped you discover yours?
I would just say the community that I built along the way, right? So this is also why the community and pride and all of those things mean so much to me. I built a family out of it. I do still have family because I'm fortunate enough to have that aspect of my life. But I also have built another family, which is a big reason why I call Tucson home, because I have lived so many places and haven't lived in Tucson in a while. But I go back to Tucson constantly for friends and family and the family that I created in that community that I know is still there. So the community, honestly, is what has helped me all these years. And that's how I got there.
Let's bring that up then. Tell us about Desert Pride Tucson, because we know recently that the original Tucson, it folded or filed for bankruptcy and folded. I'm trying to understand, because I guess Phoenix Pride filed for bankruptcy, but it's not folded. So I'm trying to understand what Tucson happened.
So I do not honestly know the specifics of what happened in Tucson.
And but theirs went away.
Filed and all of that. But theirs went away. They canceled. And I followed very closely, like I said, even though I don't live there currently. And my whole base of my foundation of my life right now is in Tucson. And I saw right away breaking news where I canceled. And the community is just devastated because it's something that we look forward to, like, just celebrating together.
There's a vacuum now because there's a need. There's a desire. Pride isn't just the party. It's the need to connect.
It is. It's the community. It's the resource. Like, you don't know what you don't know. Come to the festival and find out all these resources that you might not have known. Find these people that you might not have known. Walking groups, book groups, all these places that you might not have known about. And that is an opportunity for everybody to come together and kind of showcase, like, we are Tucson. And here's what we have to offer in the community to help you to feel welcomed and to feel safe. So we got together as an organization with Flux Production, and we saw the need, and we knew that means a lot to all of us. It's a passion project. So we took on Desert Pride Tucson as one of our programs, and we are excited about bringing it to Tucson in 2027.
So how do you hope people will feel when they go to experience it?
I hope that they feel represented. I hope that they feel seen. I hope that they feel heard. And I hope that they feel invited. A lot of times I think we forget the inviting part, welcoming and inviting. But I think that's so key to our community, is feeling welcomed and invited. Because you, not only can you be invited to something, right? When you walk through the door, if no one talks to you, do you feel welcomed? Or are you going to turn around and leave because you're like, look, it feels weird, it feels uncomfortable, I'm going to leave and just kind of silently walk out the back door because I haven't really talked to anybody, so it doesn't really matter. So we want people to feel not only invited to this event, but welcomed once they come to that event. And safe. And safe. I know safety is such a huge part of this community right now.
Right now,
going
more than
through
ever.
What we're going
right.
through,
yeah.
Unfortunately, but feeling safe and to be yourself.
So now, Tucson's always had its own kind of unique culture and identity. What opportunities do you see for the LGBTQ plus community there?
I see the opportunity to showcase Tucson. You are spot on. I still find out stuff about Tucson, and I have lived there for on and off like over a decade. And I still find out the most unique things about Tucson. So I want people to come and still find new things in this moment. That's what we're going for. Why Tucson is so near and dear to all of our hearts, and why we feel so special and unique. There's so many things there between the outdoor life, between the food, phenomenal, and just the people, the culture of people of that community that will take care of you and take you in. So I think that's what I want people to find coming to this event.
So what are some of the conversations that are happening behind the scenes to do what you're talking about as far as trying to help people feel not just invited, but welcomed to show the diversity of Southern Arizona?
Yeah, so we have a lot of conversations working with different organizations in town. There's so many nonprofits in Tucson, and I really think that now is the time to be united. And to work together, right? We're so much more powerful if we are united and together. So the conversations are like, how can we partner? How putting the puzzle together is how I see it. We literally decided to do this, and then we dumped the box of 5,000 pieces of the puzzle. And now we're sitting here, okay, we got to put this together piece by piece, right? So what do you do first? You do the edges. You put in all the edge figures so that you can figure out what your frame looks like. And so really that's what we're doing in speaking with getting the permit and speaking with the location and making sure that while we're doing that, we're taking a lot of things into consideration, like accessibility. So we can't be welcoming and lighting if it's not accessible to everybody in our community. So that's why we're being very particular about where we hold this event. And then also looking at like weather and stuff like that. Tucson's very unique. It's very hot. Right now, I live in Northern California. It's freezing cold up here. So like we are in two different climates. And so having Pride right now here, fantastic. It was cold the other night when I was out having a good time. But that's just not the case down in Southern Arizona right now.
True.
So we want to make sure we take that into account. And then we have the facility to accommodate, even if it's a warm spring and we have enough water, we have enough tents where people can cool down, stuff like that. And making sure all of that is in place. And then that, to me, is the framework of the event. And then we go to work with all of the different community avenues and putting in those other puzzle pieces. But that's where the background of that is happening right now.
A lot of Pride events are measured by attendance numbers. What does success actually look like to you?
The success to me looks like friends and family of Tucson came out to the event and partnering with all of the different vendors and organizations in Tucson, that everyone walks away and saying that was an amazing Pride. And that's the reputation that we want for this event. And everybody walks away and that can say, I felt safe. I felt safe at that event. I think that's what would be successful, would look like to me.
And what are some of the challenges in creating a new Pride or trying to restart a Pride? How do you handle that?
There's a lot of challenges, of course, in putting on any event, right? There's so many moving pieces and creating teams essentially to tackle catering and to the teams to tackle the vendors themselves. And then teams to count to tackle the facility. Then there's like a performer's piece of it. And all of that has to fit in together and all of that is moving at the same time. So the challenge is that, right? Making sure all of that can come together and work itself out. But on a lot of events, I'm the executive director of a nonprofit up here. So I have done a lot of events. And events are events and we're stressful. They have a lot of things going on. But the best part is when you're in the event and everything just kind of comes together. And my adage of putting on an event is everything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Oh, guaranteed.
But it's about how, right? Guaranteed. You're absolutely right. It is guaranteed. But it's about how you handle it. And I just keep going with the flow. That's always been my MO. My demeanor, and I'm like, okay, that didn't happen, but we can just substitute this and move on to this. And so it's just looking at it as a positive thing. All those negatives that, like I said, all those things are going to happen. And I know that I already know, I anticipate them. But the end of the day, again, if people walk away happy and safe, it's a great event. So I'm okay with it.
How does your lived experience influence the way you approach leadership and community building?
So I honestly do community building for a living. And so I guess I'm kind of lucky because I have tons of experience in it because I do it. That's literally my job. So I just translate that over to the nonprofit world. And I am very particular about how I lead my team because I know that each person is very different and what they respond to is very different. And how I manage each person under my team is very different. And there's people who are just, they cannot handle everything going wrong and they're just not going to be, they're not going to be okay. But I know my role is to be the calm in that storm, right? And to say, okay, we're going to keep moving forward and we're going to keep making it happen. And so I see that my experience is valuable because I know how to handle those situations. And I know how to stay calm in those situations. And so I think that's what I'm bringing to the table when we do stuff like this and events like this.
It's funny. I used to work in political talk radio. And I would say there are things called limousine liberals. They do really well, and I don't mean that literally, but they do really well when there's tons of resources and lots of money and things to happen. But then when the chips are down and everyone's broke, they don't know what to do.
Yeah. And then like, what do we do next? I'm like, we have to move. You know what?
COVID, we still have to move
being
forward.
Being a nonprofit through COVID, honestly, that really stuck it out for me. That was right. Like, I have to make this work and I have to make sure that everybody gets paid. And these people have families. And so it meant a lot to me and I was able to pull my organization through that. And everybody kept their jobs.
I definitely want to go back to that.
Honestly, was the time.
I definitely want to go back to that. But let's wrap up a couple things about 2027. What excites you personally about what this event can become?
It excites me because it can become the staple of Tucson and the queer community. You go to San Francisco, you Pride weekend. I did my first Pride weekend in San Francisco this year. And then, whoa. The entire town changes and is supportive and you just feel like, you know, feel like you're in the U.S. anymore with all the things that we're going through. You don't feel like that in the middle of that, right? And that, right. I want that feeling in Tucson. I want that same feeling to translate to Tucson.
I'm so and glad you said that, because I get a lot of flack. I go to Palm Springs a lot. Palm Springs is also a, yes, it's a mini bubble of our gay community. Mm-hmm. I say even more so than San Francisco. San Francisco's like the big city gays, and Palm Springs mm-hmm, is like Midwest gays. It's still neighborhoodly. It's still mildly friendly. It's still more camaraderie. It's smaller. People know each other. Kind of, it's that small town feeling there.
Yep.
So it's comfortable for me. But when they have Pride, that whole city, because a majority of people, or not majority, but a vast a pop of their population is gay, and the whole city just reflects that. So much so that last year at Pride, they had a Ferris wheel at the top of Pride so that you could ride to the top and see how much that city loved whoever you were. It was amazing. Wow. And I try and tell people that's that feeling, that's what I want to bring back to Phoenix. That's why I try and go there so much to try and learn what is it they're doing, what's working. And let's try and recreate some of those things here so that we have that sense of community, because we absolutely deserve that here. We're the third, fourth largest city. Tucson's our sister city. We all deserve to have a Pride. Yeah. It doesn't matter the size. Bisbee had a Pride. Tucson should have a Pride.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So
absolutely. That's funny you say that. I did my 20s in Palm Springs. As you know, I know Palm Springs very well. And it's exactly that. It is that community. And you feel very open and free there. I went that place.
Yeah, it changed my life in a way I never expected. I'll just say that. Now, I want to circle back, because nonprofits, this administration, the way things are, how is it that you're able to survive? Was COVID harder than what's happening with this administration? Tell me more about that.
It's a little bit of both. And COVID harder is hard to put that into context. It's very hard to navigate this, because we are standing on, we are here for the community and we have the resources, right? Because there's two different sides of Flux itself. We have the production side where we put on events and we do sound and we do catering. We have the program side where we have programs for youth and we have name change clinics and we do all of those things. But the key there is just federal funding is not, you know, and we don't have federal funding. So
did you before this administration? Let's ask that.
We had explored it before this administration.
Okay.
We did. Because there was more opportunity. And we were essentially in the process of going down.
In the qualifying round.
But we also, but we also understood that when you do that, there's certain things that could be expected of you. They could pull it. They could say, unfortunately, what they're doing now.
Right.
If you have clear in it, that out. You're DEI, you're out. And we'd never want to be in a position where we would lose our funding because of who we are. So we don't. So that's a good part of it. But then it's also hard, because there's a lot of organizations who had federal funding, lost their funding, and now they're looking for other avenues. So then we're all looking for those avenues at the same time.
We're all tapping the same people, unfortunately, because that's our community. So for listeners who are excited about your vision for Desert Pride Tucson, how can they get involved?
So you can go on to flushproductions.org, and we have on there the opportunity to a couple of resources. Contact me directly through media@flushproductions.com, and we can talk about partnering. We have speaking with vendors now, how they might be able to participate in the event, and we also have a lot of volunteering with activities that we have currently going on and events we have currently going on. So being able to get involved now, I think, would also help everyone to see the vision that we already have as an organization through Flux. And it would bring them to see, okay, it makes sense how we're walking down that path and how we came to this idea of doing the Desert Pride Tucson ourselves.
What would you say to someone in Southern Arizona who may be looking for community but isn't sure where to find it?
So I would say check. One, you can email me at media@desertpridetucson.com, because I can absolutely put you in touch with the community in Tucson. You can also check out fluxproductions.org because there's many an event and programs on there. So, you know, oftentimes, unfortunately, a lot of our community is, oh, you have to go to the bars and stuff like that. We are very aware that is one avenue to finding residents, but we're also aware of that and we want to make more events that are family friendly. That's what we do, like youth programs and stuff like that. I would say go to fluxproductions.org and check out some of the upcoming programs and events that we have. Honestly, reach out to me directly and I can help you navigate that.
And what's one thing that you wish more people understood about the power of pride and community?
One thing I wish more people understood is that it's about pride and community is about feeling at ease with yourself. Right? Because I think if everybody in the community felt at ease with themselves, then we would all be in a better place. And that's what pride in the community provides us, is the opportunity to feel at ease with ourselves and to feel more confident about that. I know coming out of San Francisco this last weekend, I feel very at ease with myself, probably more so than I have in a long time after being in that passion and that everybody's just having fun together. And we have so much negativity with media and the news and stuff like that happening, being pushed upon us, all this negative stuff. It's really nice to be in the positive side of it. And that's what I would hope that people would take away from pride and in the community. It's okay to be happy and smile and to feel safe in places. And I just think that's lost upon not only us, but even our youth. So that's really what I would but people take away from pride in the community.
Yeah, I know what you mean as far as that feeling. I felt that when Obama was our president and he had a speech and I was like, I feel like I'm being seen by my president, even though I know he's talking to the country. I felt like I was being seen and it moved me in ways I didn't expect. And then to have what we have now is just so disappointing. But it also shows that he also said the White House doesn't change who you are. It shows who you really are. I think that's more apt than ever. I also think that I jokingly say that a lot of this is our fault because we told people, oh, we love and accept who you are. We just didn't realize they were racists and Nazis.
Oh, man.
You know? But we said, come out and show your colors. We didn't mean those.
Yeah.
But here we are. What's your final message to the LGBTQ plus community across to Arizona?
Across Arizona, give to find your community and to stay strong and to keep persevering through this, because that's the only way that we're going to get through this is together. And again, like I said, we are stronger united. And what has happened, in my opinion, is that we have been divided amongst ourselves and in this time, and united. So we have to be united to persevere through this time. And I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I do. So that's what I would say.
I agree. And I also would like to remind our listeners to be divided is a choice, and we can choose not to be divided despite what people tell us. Right. Tess, thank you so very much for spending time with us today. We really appreciate you sharing your journey, your passion for community, your passion for Desert Pride Tucson. And we're really excited that you're building this. Please keep us in the loop as you have more announcements, as you have more things to say. Let us help you be that megaphone.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Another reason we love this community.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma, and I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about partner notification. If you've ever tested positive for an STI, informing past sexual partners can be a challenge, but it is an act of care. A friendly conversation can remind others the importance of testing, treating, and staying healthy. It's not about blame or shame. It's about respect, honesty, and quality healthcare for one another and owning up to the intimacy that we share. So if a past sexual partner informs you about such matters, that you might have been exposed to an STI, be cool about it. Say, thanks for letting me know, I'm on it, and be grateful that testing and if need be treatment is available for us all. Being friendly means let's look out for each other's health.
Pride lives here.
A huge thank you to Tess English for spending some time with the Gay PHX community and sharing not only what's ahead for Desert Pride Tucson, but why creating spaces where people feel safe, welcomed, and connected matters so much.
And we definitely want to thank Billy for another rainbow-tinted conversation and for continuing to bring voices from across our community to the microphone.
But most importantly, we want to thank you for being here.
At the end of the day, you can build the website, record the interviews, stream the music, and put together a weekly podcast.
But it wouldn't matter much without anyone on the other side listening.
Without you, we're really just barking in the wind.
So thank you for listening. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for supporting the people, organizations, businesses, and events that make our community what it is.
And the conversation doesn't have to end here. Head over to gayphx.com, turn on the live stream, and come hang out with Billy and the rest of the Gay PHX community throughout the week.
And don't forget to come find your new Gay PHX hosts, us, over at amorypack.com. We'd love to meet you, hear from you, and hopefully see you out and about.
Until next week, take care of yourselves.
Take care of each other.
And we'll see you around the community.
Thanks for listening to Gay PHX.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.